理课堂听 class.com
Chapter 4
We did not speak about the terrible news for a great while. When we did speak again about our terrible situation, my mother argued that my brother and I should continue to live as husband and wife, and I should forget this unpleasant knowledge. I refused, however, as I knew I could not bear living with my own brother as husband and wife. My mother and I knew that if others discovered this news, our family would be ruined. She promised that she would leave me part of her fortune after her death to calm me, but I disagreed with her answer to my frightening problem. I explained that if she died, no one else would believe my story, so I must return to England myself. Then I told her how he had already threatened to put me into a crazy house, which had terrified me. I told my mother that the only way for me to live was to return to England. I could not bear living with my brother as my husband. I suggested that my mother try to persuade her son to allow me to return to England, then explain the terrible secret to her son after I had left. She insisted that he would never allow me to leave, and I explained that I could not continue to live as my brother's wife. We continued to quarrel on this subject for quite some time. At last I decided that I must tell him. I could not bear living with him any longer. I told my mother of my plans. She was frightened, but I promised her that I would be gentle and careful in telling him. Finally, he promised me that he would not be angry about the news I was to tell him. And so I continued. "Well, then," I said, "it is this. As I told you before that I was not your legal wife, so I must tell you now that we are not legal husband and wife, because I am your own sister and you my own brother. We are both the children of our mother, now alive and in this house." I saw him turn pale and look terrified. I waited a few moments for him to recover, then explained my discovery in detail. My poor brother suffered greatly after finding out this terrible news. After some time, he agreed to let me return to England, offering me supplies and money to take back to England. I immediately left for my home country with a good fortune. Unfortunately, however, my supplies and a great part of my fortune were lost at sea, as there were many storms along the way. I arrived in England 8 years after I had left for America. Now, however, I was alone, with a small fortune between £200 and £300 left, and no friends to help me. My friend that had helped me find my last husband, or my brother, was dead, as was her husband as well. I went to a small town outside of London, and soon found a room in the house of a kind woman. She realized that I had quite a small fortune, and did not ask me to pay rent during the winter months, which I greatly appreciated. At that time, a handsome gentleman came to stay in the same house and showed a great interest in me, as the woman who owned the house told me. This man was quite a gentleman towards me. I soon told him that my husband had recently died, and I had just arrived from Virginia, but had lost part of my fortune during the voyage. The lady who owned the house told me that he often stayed at her home, but had a wife in a crazy house. They had not lived together as husband and wife in quite some time. He often came into my room during the night, and I into his, but did nothing more than kiss me on the cheek. He was quite a modest gentleman, which delighted me. The woman who owned the house explained that he was a gentleman of great fortune and honor. She encouraged me to continue a friendship with the man. After some time, I told him of my lost fortune. One day, he invited me into his room and showed me a purse full of guineas. He asked me to take a handful of coins. I was confused at the request, but he repeated himself, begging me to trust him. Finally, I put my hand into his purse and counted 50 guineas in my hand. We lived together in this house for nearly 3 months before he began speaking of moving to London, asking me if I would go with him. I was uneasy about such a move, as I did not know his reason for inviting me. I had little fortune and no friends in the city. Therefore, I could not allow myself to be cheated. During the weeks that we were discussing his invitation to move to London, he became quite ill during a trip to another town. He sent a note to me, begging me to go visit him. I did go see him and persuaded him to return to Bath, where I cared for him for 5 weeks as a loving wife would. During his recovery, I moved my bed into his room so I could care for him day and night. After he was cured, he gave me a present of 50 guineas for caring for him so tenderly. After he fully recovered, my bed was removed from his room, although he asked that I continue to sleep next to him in his bed. We slept in the same bed as brother and sister for over 2 years, as he promised me that I was not his mistress, but a dear friend.
"And now, my dear,"
he said,
"you shall see how fair I will be to you, and that I can keep my word."
As he came into my bed, and he did not break his promise, we lived almost like husband and wife, quite content with each other until one night. We had both drunk a great deal of wine earlier in the evening, and when we went to bed, I told him that I would allow him to break his promise only on that night. He agreed, and so we were no longer dear friends, as we became lovers that night. The next morning, we were both upset with ourselves for our terrible behavior, but we still continued as lovers. Sometime after we began our love affair, I discovered that I was with child, and later gave birth to a son. I was quite worried about my situation, as I had very little money. My lover, however, promised me that I should not worry. He declared that he would always care for our son and myself, but we could not marry, as his wife was still alive, although still in a crazy house. When my lover and I were quite sure that I was with child, I told the lady of the house. She was not surprised by this news, as she knew I would eventually be with child. She found me a nurse and cared for me while I waited to give birth to my child. She told my lover he should go to London during this time so others would not discover our secret. Soon after the darling child was born, I sent him a letter to announce the birth of our child. He was delighted with the news and suggested that I come to London as soon as I recovered. I quickly prepared to leave, along with my dear child, the baby's nurse, and a servant. My lover had found a house for us to live in. I had never before lived in such wealth, and was quite pleased with my new situation. I knew, however, that this perfect happiness could end immediately, as I understood that men often grow tired of their mistresses. I worried often about him leaving me, as I would have no fortune to live on. I lived this way, happy but unhappy, during which time I gave birth to 3 children, but only the first of them lived. One morning, after 6 years of living in this manner, I received a letter from him. He had been away on business. He explained that he was quite ill, but was being taken care of by his wife's relatives. Although, he admitted, he wished that I was there to cure him, instead of his wife's family. For the next 2 weeks, I heard nothing. After this time, I became quite concerned that he had not written. Another 2 weeks passed, and I became increasingly frightened at not hearing from my dear lover. At this time, I found out his location, dressed myself as a servant, and went to his home. I discovered from several of his servants that the doctor said my poor lover might soon die. This worried me considerably, as I had little money to live on with our young child, although I had saved quite a bit of the money he had given me throughout the years. The next month, however, I found out that he had recovered and had left the city to rest in the countryside. Some time later, I discovered that he had recently returned to the city. I was content with that news and believed that he would soon come to see me. I waited a week and 2 weeks, and with much surprise, nearly 2 months, and heard nothing. Another 2 months passed. I wrote him several letters, explaining my hopeless situation, begging him to come see our son and I. Finally, he responded to the last letter I sent to him, although I only found out that he was leaving me. He told me that he had sent a letter to me some time before, desiring me to return to Bath to live, but I had not received that letter. He explained that during his illness he had realized his terrible wrong in having a mistress. As he recovered, he decided that he would end our love affair and never see me again. He felt terrible for leaving me alone with our child, but he could not continue, as his wife was still alive, and now lived with him and her family. And here is the letter I had waited so long to receive.
Madam, I am surprised that my letter, dated the 8th of last month, was not received by you. I promise you that it was delivered to your home and given to your maid. I do not need to explain my illness to you, as I am quite sure you have discovered the news about how I was rather close to death, but have recovered completely. You should not be surprised to hear that our love affair has upset me greatly, and I have thought of it quite often during my illness. I will not say more. Our mistake must end now and forgotten forever. I wish you would think of going back to Bath. With this letter, I have also given you £50 as payment for the apartment for the last few months. I hope it will not surprise you to say that I can see you no more. I will take care of the child, leave him where he is, or take him with you. I hope you have had the same thoughts about our love affair. I believe your life will improve now that we are not in such a terrible situation.
This letter hurt me with 1,000 wounds. I had known, even before our love affair began, that I would suffer in the end, as I now was. He had realized his evil doings, regretted them, and was now content with himself and his life. I, however, was the evil temptation he had given up, who he would think of with hatred. I lived the next month in my sadness. I did not return to Bath. I was afraid the woman, whose house I had lived at, would persuade me into an evil affair again, as she had done with my lover. Besides, I did not want her to discover that he had left me,